welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined as always by Mac McIntyre.
I can do.
And someone we haven't heard from in a while, Alice Nelson.
Hello!
Good to have her back, and that is it. That is a crew for you, and we'll be taking you into this chilly fall weekend, and let's get right to it. Alice, we haven't heard from you in a bit. Anything to report on?
I've just been catching up on season two, actually, of The Walking Dead, and pretty good. I didn't care that much for season one. I thought it was kind of empty. It was only about six episodes, but season two is getting much more into the characters, not just sort of a zombie apocalypse killing zombie show. So really enjoying it. We've probably got four more episodes left in season two, then we'll jump in on season three. So
season three airing now? Is that the one that's
yeah,
it now?
Started on Sunday. The first episode aired Sunday.
Yeah, broke all kinds of records, I think, right?
Yeah, I heard it was good. I'm trying to stay away from spoilers, so.
Yeah, Mac, refresh my memory. Did you watch this show? I can't remember.
I watched the first season. I keep telling myself I'm going to get caught up with the second, but I haven't yet.
And are you a fan of the books?
The books left me a little cold. They were so dark and so kind of, nihilistic.
Yeah.
Just very, just dreary. It was good that it had that effect on me, that it was just that sort of gloomy, but, I never read past the first volume just because it was just so dark.
Can't you just read, the world news section in the newspaper? And
yeah,
it?
Really.
Same difference.
The same difference, yeah. Cool. Anything else, Alice?
Horror movie month, so we've just been watching a bunch of really bad horror movies on Netflix, and that's been kind of fun.
What's the most recent really bad one?
We saw one called Area 407, I think it was. A plane crashes in some government facility that's harboring aliens, and one by one the government picks off the survivor of the plane crash.
Ah, as they're wont to do.
Yes, and it's all shaky cam, so.
Ugh. All right, yikes. Okay, that doesn't sound like a full-throated endorsement, I'm guessing.
Nah, it's all right.
Nice. All right, Mac, how about you?
Let's see. Oh, I went and saw Frankenweenie.
Okay.
New animated Tim Burton film.
Yeah, and?
It's a mixed bag. There's pluses and minuses to it.
I mean, when was the last time we had an animated film that was considered a classic? What did Pixar have for us this year?
Pixar had Brave.
Which was okay,
good.
Right?
It was good. Predictable, but good.
Yeah.
Had some great slapstick with a bear that was really well done.
Nice.
Hope I didn't spoil the movie for anyone.
Okay.
I've been trying to spread the word. I've been telling everybody I can to get out and see Pirates Band of Misfits.
Yeah, that's an Aardman, right?
Yes, that's the new Aardman that came out just right around the same time Avengers came out. So
I'm going to take your recommendation. We'll watch it. But for some reason, maybe the packaging doesn't appeal to me. I don't know. It's lame to think that way. But for some reason, I don't know why, but the look doesn't appeal to me. But that's me just being totally ignorant. So
okay, well maybe I'm overselling it, but I really enjoyed it. This is really confident filmmaking.
So that is that on? Go ahead, Alice.
I was just going to say, is that on Netflix yet?
I haven't seen it on Instant, but I'm sure you can get it in the little red envelopes.
Yes. So Frankenweenie.
Yeah. Frankenweenie. It's kind of a mixed bag. I thought. Well, first of all, just the visuals, the animation itself is very nicely done. It's all black and white, and with stop motion, they can do a lot with the lighting to really evoke the old-timey Universal horror films, which is pretty great. The second half of the movie is much better than the first. The second half is when all hell really breaks loose and the animators really cut loose with all kinds of just crazy, insane stuff starts happening in the movie that's not even hinted at in the previews. And that part was really fun. The first hour or the first half of the movie is a little slow going. They introduce a lot of subplots that kind of never go anywhere and that don't have any resolution in the second half of the movie, and that was kind of frustrating. Kind of a too many characters syndrome.
Yeah.
So it's good and bad.
Cool.
All right. Anything else?
I got the first episode of Arrow on the TiVo. I was going to watch it before we recorded, but I just didn't find the time.
And actually, I did pretty well for the CW, I guess, as far
did
as
it.
Premieres go. Yeah, it got in a lot of people. So, how's Castle working for you this season?
I'm enjoying it. Yeah. The big romance has not killed the show. So,
Always a risk.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Man, What can I share? What can I share? What? I mean, like all. Trying to think. We had an earthquake here in New England.
I heard. Did you feel it?
We did. We just thought it was a truck driving by. but you would have thought, you know, the Russians invaded, like in Red Dawn, judging by my Facebook feed. So, yeah, so Facebook was particularly painful. It was particularly painful on Tuesday. At least my feed was, because it was like an hour block of just people exclaiming about the earthquake, you know, which, you know, was pretty rough since it was barely a trickle. And then it immediately shifted into your debate hijinks, which that's, I don't really get my political insight from my Facebook feed. So it was a rough Facebook day.
People in New England freaking out about an earthquake that's like people in Florida freaking out over one of those rare snowstorms that are like over in an hour.
That's right. Yes. That is an excellent comparison. So, yeah, so that's probably trying to tie. Can I tie that earthquake to any kind of a recent disaster movie I saw? Because I haven't seen one. I haven't seen an earthquake disaster movie. Those are typically pretty. They're actually more terrible than usual. Like the direct to DVD sci-fi movie ones, you know.
Right.
I mean, they're all pretty bad, whether it's nuclear typhoon or, you know, kamikaze tsunami or something, but. The earthquake ones are really bad just because that CGI is extremely rough.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's one of the easiest things to do. Just shake the camera and your actors flail their arms around.
Well, that's good. I'm just talking about the big shot, the big money shots where the earth opens up, you know?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's not.
The crevices, yeah.
Yeah, the crevices. So I will tell you that crevice rendering technology is not that stuff. So that is unfortunate. So, but beyond that, I've really got nothing else to say. I suppose I could bitch more about Parks and Rec, which I think has really taken a nosedive.
I've only seen two episodes so far.
Have you seen the soda tax one?
Yeah.
I mean, it is just Dan and Mancini are going to try to do an objection episode diagnosing what is wrong, but there's just something rotten in Denmark with Parks and Rec.
They just need to go back to the Parks and Rec.
They do. They do. I think they've misjudged the effectiveness of their characters and like why Leslie was so funny and why, you know, because she was so ambitious within this, you know, really low ranking bureaucratic, you know, position. But that juxtaposition was funny. So now it's just, I don't know, it's just not terribly funny. So I'm pretty disappointed that The Office continues just to be terrible. I have no idea what's going on there. No idea. It's one of those things where every decision they make doesn't make any sense. You know, like Andy's a manager and he's just mean. He's just like cruel. He's pushing women and he's just being cruel. So I just don't understand. So I'm kind of hurting for my comedy fix here on television.
Yeah, there's not much left, is
not
there?
Not much. I think I'm like at one TV show I may watch regularly, two, including Fringe, but that's backed up on my DVR. So I don't know. Yeah, boy, me and my first world problems, they're tough.
Oh, man, I hate that statement.
I know, that's another Facebookism I can do with that. So let's keep going. How about stuff for the site? What do you have, Alice?
You just caught me off guard. What am I? Oh, I'm working on a movie called Vile, which the title should tell you everything.
Yeah, V-I-L-E?
Yes. One of those torture porn movies like Saw where a couple of nine strangers get trapped in a house. And in order to escape, they have some sort of contraption attached to the back of their skulls. And these sinister strangers have them captive in there because they want to get this chemical that the human body secretes, but only if you are under an incredible amount of pain. So you can imagine what happens after that. And actually, it's not a bad plot. And the idea is good. It's just they didn't need all the gore and all the pain and all that stuff that, you know, that they put in those kind of torture porn movies where people get their fingernails pulled out and just ridiculous stuff. And if they had just, you know, stuck to character development and the story idea, because you know who was doing it or why, it might have been a better film, but it's sort of okay.
All right. Vile is okay.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
a Mac?
Let's see. One thing we haven't talked about yet, I don't think, is it's up on the site already. I reviewed the new direct-to-video animated film from DC and Warner Brothers. It's Dark Knight Returns Part 1.
Yes, okay.
based on the landmark graphic novel by Frank Miller. It's pretty good. They really follow the graphic novel fairly closely. Some of Miller's more weird indulgences get toned down a little, but beyond that, they follow it pretty closely. The thing is, well, the story is about, it takes place in the future, and an older, more disgruntled, you know, Batman is called out of retirement one last time.
Yes.
To fight some gang members, and things get spiral out of control. The thing is, you know, a couple decades ago, this was really, really groundbreaking stuff. No one had ever seen a Batman that was like this dark and this gritty before. Now, all these years later, that graphic novel has been so influential that this doesn't really feel like something new and exciting, but it just feels like another Batman story. Because we've seen so much stuff that this has influenced, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not sure what audiences are going to make of it. I think it'll be more of an amusing novelty than it will be just, you know, one of the all-time great Batman stories.
Gotcha.
Now, is this a live action or a cartoon?
It's an animated. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I must have missed that part.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah. They've been, these DC Universe releases come out maybe like twice a year or something with various direct-to-video animated features based on graphic novels. So
yeah,
and it's pretty interesting because instead of following one continuity, each one is like a new take on these on the characters, which is an interesting way to go. So the movie's good. It was entertaining. It's, you know, it's, if you want just all you're looking for is some Batman action, then pick it up. But otherwise, I think a lot of people would just be like, "Oh, that's interesting," and not really see it as, you know, one of the all-time classics.
Hmm. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it for right now.
All right. Well, let's see. I'm going to give you multiple choice, okay? I'll let you guys decide.
All right.
Here are your options. I can either talk about the complete series of The Magic School Bus. I can give you a taste of what's to come for the VR Troopers. Or I will read you an excerpt from the review I've waited my whole life to write. And Mac, what would that be?
That would be Willow, of course.
Willow on Blu-ray, which is a pipe dream. No, second, but right behind it would be The Masters of the Universe on Blu-ray for some reason, but I embrace it. So your choice, your decision. I will let you choose. What would you like?
Well, I got to put my vote in for He-Man.
Nice.
Same here.
Actually,
same
here. I'm so glad you guys are supporting that. So I'm just going to do a little – I broke down some of the characters and talked about how maybe they compared – the live-action characters compared to their cartoon counterparts. And so maybe this – I thought this would give you a sense of what we're looking at. Now, Mac, you've seen this, correct?
Years ago I saw it.
Oh, years ago.
It's faded in my memory.
Alice, how about you?
Same thing. I saw it a long time ago. I don't remember much from it.
Wow, okay. So here's a little refresher then for you. So He-Man first. He-Man. No battle cat, no problem. Dolph Lundgren is in his macho Swedish prime, decked out in possibly the least appropriate outfit for an action hero, and clanging his massive prop sword into Skeletor's hapless troops like a clapper on a church bell. The biggest difference between live-action He-Man and cartoon He-Man is that the latter works hard not to cause bodily harm to his opponents, and the former murders everyone. He's a mass murderer in this movie. Skeletor. Skeletor's my all-time favorite cartoon bad guy. He's a major dick, and despite the fact his schemes are pretty much all moronic and inevitably fail, he consistently pins the blame on his flunkies. In Masters of the Universe, he's still an a-hole and still bitches to his underlings, but his villainy just isn't as cartoonish. The most malicious he gets is the magic blast he delivers to Courtney Cox's leg. And while the resulting skin inflammation is oozy, it is still essentially a rash. Tough to fear a guy when the most potent magic he can conjure can be replicated by an unfortunate encounter with poison sumac. Let's see here. Kevin and Julie are new characters. The fresh young teen faces brought on board to, I don't know, appeal to the adolescent theater-going crowd that isn't alert enough to realize they're going to watch a movie about a man in a codpiece fighting a talking skeleton. Tila and Man-at-Arms. In live action, Tila pushes the PG rating, parading around in a skin-tight jumper. But compared to what the animators outfitted her in the cartoon, you guys recall Tila's outfits in the cartoon? Big, yeah. Like, big hooker boots, and like a plunging V-neck one-piece thing, you know, whatever. She might as well have been wearing a burqa. Man-at-Arms is crusty and curmudgeonly and continues to have a terrible name. Evil-Lyn. Meg Foster. Does that name ring a bell? Meg Foster?
Yeah, she had the eyes, right?
She had the eyes. That's right. Mm-hmm. Probably more well known from They Live. I think she was, you know, mm-hmm. she was one of the antagonists there. But her green eyes and her raspy voice make her a premium villainess. But her lack of strategic thinking is glaring. As we learn, she has the ability to change her appearance, even turning into Julie's dead mother at one point. Begging the question, couldn't she have used this power to change into He-Man's aunt or something, then stick him with a shiv when he leans over for a hug? Yeah, that's a question here. The new guys. Beastman is here, and he's just as useless as the cartoon version. In fact, all the bad guys are useless. Skeletor's finest warriors, quote-unquote, are dispatched to Earth to get the cosmic key, and they consist of Beastman, Blade, a supposed master swordsman, whose only melee victory in the entire film comes against a chain-link fence, a guy named Karg, who looks like a cross between Edgar Winter and that charred homeless person from Mulholland Drive, and a reptilian creature named Zorod, whose primary power, as far as I can tell, is his rapidly expanding bulbous neck. We lost out on Triclops and Fisto for these dumbasses. And these Skeletor's commandos. If you thought Imperial Stormtroopers were the be-all and end-all of inept sci-fi cannon fodder, wait till you see these morons. They literally run square into laser fire. Even the high-ranking troops, you can tell who they are because they wear capes, recklessly charge into the teeth of battle, implementing the dubious strategy, dulling He-Man's sword blade with their skulls. And there's more to come. So please, give Masters of the Universe a chance.
After that, we're supposed to give it a chance.
I didn't quite sell it. So, okay, that's it.
Nice. Very nice.
Self-promotion. Let's move on, Mac, to whatever we got moving on to.
Sure, we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And again, you folks at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the DVD releases tab, and there scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for October 23rd. We're just going to take a look at whatever's on the list here. So, did anybody get out to see that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Oh, it is. No. I did not.
I wanted to see it, though. Have you heard it?
I don't know much about it. It kind of came and went sort of quietly from theaters. But
I'm not sure if I mentioned. I had started reading the book, actually.
I
stopped because I just was too cute, maybe. I don't know. Hmm.
It's funny. It's kind of a comedic premise that they're sort of playing straight.
Yeah, right. So that's, I don't know, I couldn't get behind it, I guess. Oh, it looks like the 5,000th version of Blade Runner.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Not sure what's different about this one from the previous ones, but a great movie.
Which I've never finished watching. There's another
Oh, my gosh.
I fell asleep while watching it at one point in college because I was so tired.
I've never even started watching it.
You guys got to see Blade Runner.
I know.
I got to put it in the queue, Mac. I mean, I haven't seen Shawshank Redemption yet, for crying out
loud. Oh, man, that's amazing. That's a great movie.
I know. I heard Magic Mike was supposed to be decent.
Yeah, it did really well at the box office and got a lot of hype.
That was okay.
There's another Tyler Perry movie. What is that, like the 50th one?
Which one?
There's like two of them in here.
Adia's
Witness
Protection.
Oh, make that three, because we also got Meet the Browns and I Don't Want to Do Wrong.
Oh, boy.
So all kinds of Tyler Perry for you.
Busy guy.
I don't know. I think we may have hit all the high points. I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
All right, going once, going twice, anything else? Not a ton here to work with. Not a ton to work with, so meaning not a ton to work with for inadvertently squeezing out a D-release of the week. So, Alice, you go first.
I'm going to – let me think. Let me look. How about this one? Through the Wormhole.
Good. Mac?
Okay, let's try Crooked Arrows.
Yeah, that's mine, so now I've got
it. Oh, no.
I don't know what this means. It might be cool and funny and disgusting, but I'm going to go with Meet the Browns. All right. I think through the Wormhole was last week one, too, wasn't it, Mac?
Was it?
I don't know. I know I've seen this
it's a series.
It's a series, so that may have been... through the Man, that sounds like a... Terrible euphemism. Oh, speaking of inadvertently sleaziness, have anyone heard it's gone national, but Kennebunk, Maine, the Zumba fitness prostitution ring? No. Have you heard about that? I'd just let you Google that one. That's
wasn't happening at the infamous First United Church of Kennebunkport, was it?
No.
Which put together the initials for that, and you get the joke.
Yeah. Ah, gotcha. First, oh, very nice. No, it actually lived, that acronym, I think. It lived. Okay, so you know what to do. Purchase, support DVD Verdict. Your patronage is appreciated. All right, we're making excellent time here. So let's wrap this bad boy up with our ambush topics, random topics thrown at each other. I'll kick it off, folks. Halloween is approaching, so get really terrible costumes. They can be superhero costumes, they can be whatever, but terrible costume.
Really terrible costumes. That should be easy.
Okay, I guess the first one that comes to mind, you guys remember the short-lived TV series Freaks and Geeks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Their Halloween episode had the one character go out as C-3PO, which was just the cardboard box and the tubes that was, like, done up with, like, the silver and gold tape.
Yes, rough.
Himself looked like a robot. Pretty rough, yeah. And on the commentary, one of the producers explains that he had a similar C-3PO costume that he wore one year in Halloween that was just as crappy. And they said, well, how old were you when you wore this? Were you like 8, 9? Yeah. He says, I was 19.
Oh, gosh. Actually, that's probably what made Freaks and Geeks so great, because so much of that was like autobiographical.
It was.
I think I'll go with Ben Stiller from Mystery Men. He was Mr. Furious.
Right.
Oh, man. That's a lot. I can't remember that. So, now, maybe I watched a little bit of it. I remember thinking the premise may have been more funny than the actual film.
There were some funny parts, but just like anything Ben Stiller does, it's not quite there.
Yeah, hit and miss, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in honor of He-Man, I got to go with, I've talked to about him before, but my man Bo from She-Ra.
That's one
of my favorites. The most emasculated male character in the history of the medium.
That is so true.
He's got this great orange coiffure, and he's got this porn star mustache. But the real he's got a tiny cape, so he's not even cool enough to get a full cape. It's a tiny one that comes up to his lats pretty much. But the real kicker is his little emblem, which is a heart. So that's so nice, Bo. Yeah, so yeah, not sure what's going on there. So okay, Alice, why don't you go next?
Okay, how about a movie you saw when you were a kid that now that you're a grown up you realize you were too young to see?
Hmm, that's good. You know, I gotta say, I didn't watch a lot of scary stuff when I was young. I didn't like it. I shied away from it, so.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I watched Young Frankenstein, the Mel Brooks film.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoyed a lot of the slapstick parts, you know, as a kid, because, you know, as a kid, really dug all the slapstick. But then years later, in high school, a bunch of us watched the movie at a party, and we got to the end of the movie, where basically the movie ends, spoiler, where just everybody, you know, has sex with each other. And there's a bunch, and you know, we're all in high school, we're all got the teenage hormones going on, and we're all looking at awkward glances at each other around the room as the movie ends, and like, this is kind of a really dirty movie.
Okay, well, I guess I could. I mean, I could say Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, but I don't think I was really young for that. So, I mean, that was a movie that was more hardcore than its rating, you know. Obviously, so pulled the heart out and all that. But I'm gonna go with just a movie I can't quite remember. In fact, I did end up tracking it down a couple years ago what the name was, but now it's kind of lost to ether again. So it's one of those movies you just kind of stumble upon as a kid, right? And it was like. It's like a gladiator movie or something, you know, and I just, the one scene that sticks out was like the king or whatever captured all these guys, and he was publicly executing them. The manner of the execution was pretty brutal. It was like this slide. Yeah, it was like a slide on the back of a horse, but it was this, it was a huge metal blade. Oof. And like he sent his captives down on their belly on this blade. So I think it was implied more than anything, because I mean it still was like the 70s or something. But yeah, it was I have to find out what that was. But
I have no idea.
Wait a minute, no, maybe not. Yeah, I don't know. But so I hang on a second. I just did a Google search. I just did a quick Google search. Yahoo, one of the Yahoo answers. An old horror movie where the killer made the person slide down a blade, splitting them. There was a blade like a slide. The Long Ships. That's what it's called. The Long Ships. Let's see. And it from the IMD forum. Yeah, I'm reading this. No question. Okay. It's the Mayor of Steel. Mayor, M-A-R-E. Spooked the hell of me when I was a tyke. I've remembered that line. Do you believe in Allah? Ever since, still creeps me out. the Mayor of Steel. 50-foot razor blade shaped like a horse's head.
Oh, wow.
So it's not an actual horse.
No. So it's giant horse.
That's not
1964, yeah. The Long Ships. Yeah, Sidney Poitier was in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should see it.
Wow. Yeah, probably
ride
wasn't.
The Mayor of Steel. And it was, I don't recall it being a graphic scene. It wasn't. Yeah. It was up to your imagination, so. Yeah.
Sometimes it's worse.
Yeah, the Mayor of Steel. Ooh, boy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so when I was about 10 or 11 and my brother was 8 or 9, we went to the theater with my older sister, and she was supposed to keep an eye on us. But when we went in, there was nobody in front of the door. There was no usher in front of the door to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, fun. So
we just decide, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, let's go see it.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. You know, how old again?
I was 10, yes, and I really didn't know what it was about. I mean, you know, I assumed it was a horror movie, but we didn't think it'd be that bad. So we tell my sister we're going to go see this Disney movie, and we sneak in to go see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and both of us are frightened out of our minds, but we're too proud to admit we're scared and leave, so we sit through the whole thing.
Oy.
And when I was 10, I really thought it was like a snuff film, like people were really getting killed.
Of course, right.
So when we leave, we don't tell my sister and we don't tell my mother because, my mother believed in corporal punishment. So we got our just desserts because that night, man, we had the worst dreams you can imagine.
Yeah.
That's definitely – and I just saw that recently. We watched it, you know, my husband and I for Horror Movie Month. I can't believe you saw this when you were 10 years old. I can't believe it either. It was pretty scary.
Yikes. That's impressive. Okay, Mac, wrap us up.
All right. this is one of Hollywood's favorite topics. There's a lot of these, and that is the wacky next-door neighbor.
Wacky. I was just watching Bewitched. So I'm going to say Mrs. Gladys Kravitz. She was singing Bewitched, do witchy things.
Yeah, refresh my memory.
Yeah. I have no clue what you're talking about.
Well, Bewitched had this nosy neighbor who always managed to see Bewitched use her powers. And she would call her husband, Frank or Ralph or whatever. And by the time he got there, all the witchy stuff was done. So everybody thought she was pretty crazy. So she was a wacky neighbor.
How about that crazy family in The Burbs, from The Burbs? Remember the movie?
Oh, yeah. That movie's a blast.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Underrated, I think. So, so I don't know. They were... I'm trying to think who comprised that family. Who's anyone? Any recognizable names that are part? I mean, it was just like some weird Transylvanian family or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just.
It had some great reveals that movie.
Like the
trunk full of bones. That was a good one. You know, the cartoon.
The best is the guy taking out the trash while all the thunder and lightning's going on, and it's filmed. And all he's doing is taking out the trash, but it's filmed like so dramatically.
I mean, that was
so like, over the top.
I know, because they set you up to think that it was just Tom Hanks going crazy, right?
Right.
Just being dumb, but it pays off at the end with, like, they're actually psychos. So, very good.
Yeah.
All right, back.
Yeah, so watching a repeat of Seinfeld the other day got me thinking about Kramer. And We never did get an explanation as to why he's always bursting through the door at high speed.
Yeah.
We never really knew what he was doing just before he came bursting in through the door. And I wonder if that mystery will ever be solved or if it's always going to be left up to our imaginations.
Yeah, I think we'll never know.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah.
It's always, what is Kramer up to when we don't see him? You know, that's... We're never sure.
I don't think we want to know.
No. Yeah, some secrets are better left untold.
Exactly.
Well, with that, let's wrap this up. So this is a pretty nice, swift Friday filibuster. So awesome. Thank you, Alice, for joining us again. Always good to have you. We'll have you on again a lot sooner than
thank you.
Playover, for sure. And Mac, take us away. I'm not even tell her email address because no one sends us email.
Through the wormhole.